Amen. It's good to see all of you back. Good to have visitors with us tonight. We trust that you'll have a good time here in the house of God worshiping with us. Don't forget also Faith and Family Night sign-up sheet is over here. Brother Ethan's overseeing that. It's a Magic, Orlando Magic playing Detroit Pistons. Tickets, I think, are $12. It starts at 7 o'clock, March 2nd. I think he needs to know this by this Wednesday, I believe. So I see there's probably about six already signed up. So take advantage of that. If need be, maybe not, but if need be, we'll just have the group meet here and take the church bus up. That way it'll save you on some parking up there. I think parking can be $12 around there somewhere. So you'll save on some parking. So that'll be a blessing if you want to take advantage of that. We'll be in Mark chapter 15 this evening. Chapter number 15. I wonder if somebody might have a word of testimony I'd like to offer the Lord before we get started. Mark chapter 15. Brother Josh.
Well, I'm thankful for my salvation. Thankful also for Christian growth. It's good to see the church growing around here, families being added. Thankful to the Lord for growing my family as well. Malachi and Joash coming. It's really good to see a live church grow and exhibiting Christ.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Sister Walton. Amen. It's good to know that Jesus is alive. There's a lot of, I was reading a little article today about ancient church history or early church history and about some of the preachers and things of that nature, and they're gone. They're not here. Did a lot of good and great work for the Lord, but they're not here anymore. But the Lord is. No power could hold him down. No grave could hold him down. Yes, Brother Bill? Well, church, we need your prayer. The county has finally made an offer on the church property up front. So be prepared for the deacons and myself as we meet with the lawyer again tomorrow and a few of the experts that are working on our side. They give us a 30-day notice that this is what they're offering, and we need a rebuttal on that. So tomorrow we'll be meeting with the lawyers and see how things go. Well, we definitely need your prayer. We need wisdom, need discernment, and we need the Lord's power, because this is His church, and everything needs to be done in glorifying God in the decisions and everything. So be in prayer about that. They sent it Friday, and so we'll be meeting with them and getting things down. So it is coming closer that they will be four-laning out front. The pastor next door called me also this morning and said they got an offer Friday as well. So we're the last two that they were holding out on this project, and so, but they've offered on both of them. So that's where we are. Looks like if things stay where they are, they'll begin construction in October. So if they begin construction in October, that means we got a lot of things to take care of, church. Our Discovery Club building will be gone, so we have to make preparations for the next year in a new location here on the church property. So a lot of things got to take place. You know, they took forever. Most have been done, I think, back in 2009. But when they got going, they're going. So be in prayer about that, and the decisions have to be made so that the ministers of the church do not hurt and hinder from our lack of effort. So we got to stay on the ball. No matter what the county does, we as a church have to keep moving forward with the Lord's plan for our church. And I'm telling you, if we take off 1 year on the Bible clubs, they're gone. Back to zero. We cannot let that happen. We've got to be prepared for it. That transition, that means we've got to be on the ball. So be in prayer for that. And that the county permitting side will not be so relentless in getting their pounds of flesh when we do have to start doing some transitioning. Okay, Mark chapter 15. Oh boy, I think I've been praying about the next step in Sunday evening, and I've really been leaning toward something to do with fishers of men, soul winning, witnessing. Maybe a whole 10, 12 week series on that. Lord lead it. We still got a whole chapter left after we get done tonight, but I believe that's where the Lord would have us to go at this point. Mark chapter 15 and verse 42, we'll read down to the end of the chapter tonight. Just in case you're wondering, the eagles aren't flying. Verse 42, so stay here and rest with us. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. We ended up last Wednesday, Sunday evening, there, verse 40, 41, and we noticed that the ladies were there at the cross there, and how faithful they were to minister to the Lord throughout his earthly ministry and to care for the needs that the workers of the Lord might have there. And I believe, if you would, flip over to Romans 16 real quick. Romans 16, you have the salutation of the Apostle Paul, and I believe that their faithfulness was an example to many other believers to come. And you'll notice there in chapter 16, verse number 1 of the book of Romans, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becoming saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also, Greek Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amphipolis, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Salute Apuleius, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Artabulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them with them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphios, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Paris, which labored much in the Lord. And it goes on and on and on and on and on, and names all these folks. And I believe that it was possibly because of the example that was set down before them by other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read about a man by Joseph of Arimathea, who also was a great example to many. See, you don't have to have a title. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a song leader, a Sunday school teacher. When we read Romans chapter 16, verse 1, they were fellow helpers, fellow prisoners. They were just normal lay people, Lord. Why? Because everybody's important to God. There is positions within inside the church, but we are God's children. And so be faithful to be that example, to be that helper. Matter of fact, right there in verse 6 of chapter 16, verse Romans, there was that phrase that says, greet this one, because and made a note of it. They were even in the Lord Christ, in Christ before Paul. You know, sometimes even you've been saved for a long, long time. You know, dear friend, you have to bring yourself to be a helper even to those that are younger in the Lord than you, though they might have a little bit more place of work and position like Paul had there that God put him in. And they were just content to be a helper there and to do so. And boy, I tell you, it's good to see examples that are put before young people that they have an opportunity. Like Timothy, Lois, his grandmother, was very faithful to bring forth that example before him and made him wise. His mother, Eunice and Lois, made him wise unto salvation because of the example that was put before him. And so don't just sit down on yourselves and say, well, I don't have a position. Yeah, you do. Your name is written down in glory if you're saved. Dear friend, you have a position in God through Christ Jesus. You're His child. And be an example to Him during that time. Now, in verse 42, we see the men that buried Him. There it says, the day of His burial. Verse 42, and now back in Mark, verse 5, chapter 15, verse 42. Now, when even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. Now, a lot of folks get all mixed up and confused and out of sorts because all of a sudden on our calendar it has told us that Jesus was buried on a Friday. Just help you there. There's no 3 days ever been from Friday to Sunday. And Jesus said, I must be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So don't get confused because a calendar that's been created by men tells us that Friday was good, and therefore we celebrate Good Friday, and Jesus had to be buried on Good Friday. Well, we've got to study. Well, the Jewish Sabbath was on Saturday. This was a different Sabbath. Look over in John chapter 19. John chapter number 19, that is right, it is correct. The normal Sabbath day is on a Saturday for the Jewish people. This was a different one. John chapter 19, verse 31. John 19, verse 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, listen to what it says, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So it was a different Sabbath. It wasn't the normal Sabbath. They were in preparation for the Passover. So if the Lord said that this is the word of the Lord, he told his disciples, told them through the scripture, said, I must, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights, I must be in the belly of the whale. When they approached the tomb, as we get there, early on the first day of the week, he was already gone. That's what the scripture says. So you have to start backing it up. You're backing it up. And so when you back up 3 days from when he was buried, he had to be around Wednesday evening before 6 o'clock sometime, because in preparation of the Passover. And you say, well, man, I have believed the longest that he was buried on Friday. I'm not going to hear, it's not an arguing point for me. It's not something you need to be all upset about and be bothered about, but you just have to take the Bible at face value and say, well, if the Bible said this, there's got to be an answer. And there's your answer. That Sabbath was a high Sabbath. It was different than the normal Sabbath. So you back up and you have it there. I'm not telling you to go out there and run around with your friends and you know, have a biblical argument over Good Friday. That's vain babbling. If the opportunity comes, show them that scripture. Let the Holy Spirit of God, you know, show them something in the Bible, because we have all, from time to time, fallen heir to the traditions of men in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And one of two things happens. When we're presented with truth, we accept it as truth, and we say, wow, praise God, I got that. That's amazing. I've been doing this thing wrong all this time, but there's in the Bible, it's plain, it's, you know, it's simple. Or we say, well, I'm just going to tell you what. Grandma Sadie said it was like this, and Grandma Sadie was right. And then there's an argument over the fact that Grandma Sadie said it. The reason I said Grandma Sadie, I had a Grandma Sadie. If you had a Grandma Sadie, I'm sorry. I wasn't attacking your grandma. Not at all. But this was a different Sabbath. And you know, they were coming to take the body there. And Joseph, according to Scripture, was a very wealthy man. Look in verse 43. Joseph Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly unto the pile and craved the body of Christ. Look over in John chapter 19, if you would. Back over in John chapter 19. Hold your place there in the book of Mark. We'll be right back. John chapter 19, verse 38. Sometimes, well, we cut off friends for some of the silliest stuff. Well, you believe in Good Friday. Oh, you believe he's born on Wednesday. He was buried on Wednesday. I came to fellowship with you. We gag at gnats and swallow camels. Don't do that. Don't do that at all. You know, you don't have to prop truth up. You don't have to. You don't have to be the crutch for truth. Truth stands on its own two legs. You know, you just love folks and let God straighten all that out like that. Let's say John 19:38. And after that, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews. Oh, you mean have closet Christians? Yep, sure did. Besought Pilate. This is amazing. People attacked this man for being secretly a Christian, but lift up the apostles. They're great, man. They're great. They were. They were used mightily of God. But whenever the rubber hit the road, what did they do? They split like banana. They were gone. Secretly, he worshiped the Lord. He was in fear. You know, sometimes you have to do that. There's folks that try to love the Lord and serve the Lord, and their family gives them such a hard time. You know, and say, well, if they would really love God, they'd come out of that closet. Well, at the time, right, they would. Joseph did, didn't he? Came boldly, the Bible says. That's the boldness of God. That's what happened when God does it. We're to provoke people to love. You don't know the situation they're in that causes them to secretly follow Christ. You know, I pray that we'd all get to the point where we can stand up and let our light shine, not hiding our light under a bushel, not hide, being afraid to tell others about Christ. Secretly. That's what it says. Being the disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also, guess who? Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. And this one says, and brought him mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen cloths with spices, a manner of the Jews it is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, listen to what it says, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus before, therefore, because of the Jews, preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. You remember about a week prior to this, not our week, but a week prior to this time, he come riding in on what? New coat, where no man had sit. They hollered, Hosanna, 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 threw down their clothes, they was worshiping, praising. Wasn't long they was crucifying him. Here's old Joseph and his buddy Nicodemus. Never know when those are going to stand up and do right. You never know when those that were afraid and stood off, you know, like the young man. We studied about him. I'm still baffled about him standing off in the dark, and he was naked as a jaybird. I don't get it. I'll probably never get it, Brother Ray, on this side of earth. God's going to have to explain that one to me. But he was naked as he could be, following along, trying to see what was happening to the Lord. Then here's these two, by night, afraid. Both of them very highly ranked, as it may seem, in what we would call the Sanhedrin court. Rulers, Pharisees of Pharisees, educated men in the ways of Judaism. But Jesus touched their heart. They got saved. And in this moment of Jesus' knees, it was almost as if they were preparing for some kind of burial. It says they brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100 pound weight. As it was the manner, it says there in verse 40, the last bit, as with the manner of the Jews is to bear. It was like they knew. It was like they believed. It was like they had heard the message that Jesus said, I must die. I'll be taken. I'll be scourged. I'll be beaten. I'll be rejected of men. And I will die. And I will go into this earth 3 days, 3 nights. And yet I'll rise again. It was like they expected it. And here was the disciples. They were still afraid. Still. Like, what's going on? What is happening? Like many of us. Isn't it amazing where some are very strong and steadfast? Others are emotional. Just how we are as people, aren't we? God loves us all. God loves us. You see these men that came. I don't know if you've noticed, back over in Mark, the words it says there, and he went boldly. But over in John it said he served the Lord secretly because of fear. Isn't that amazing? At the time, when the Lord prompts us, he gives us that boldness, doesn't he? Man, I tell you, there have been times I said, man, I got to talk to this person. I'd be so tongue-tied, dried mouth, palm sweating. Oh, man, I got to tell them about Jesus, something about Jesus. I got to break through this nervousness. And the Lord just like all of a sudden just moves in and brings that peace and the boldness comes that we're able to speak. Sadly say there's other times that in my flesh and my body and my mind, I lose the battle in my mind. I say, oh, they ain't going to want to hear it. They're too busy. I'm ashamed of myself just yesterday, matter of fact. Just yesterday. Man, right here in the church parking lot. A lady pulled up and asked, could she come inside and light a candle? And I didn't take opportunity to tell her about the light of the Lord. Sorry, ma'am, we're closed. You know what my mind said, Brother Bernie? She's Catholic. She ain't going to want to hear it. Even pastor, sometimes I stand in fear. Lord gives us boldness. He opens those doors. He allows us opportunity. Here's these men in fear. But now when the Lord really needed them, well, that, you know what it tells me, Brother Jim? These weren't fair weather friends. It was a difficult time. Pilate had just washed his hands. Take him, crucify. Pilate gave the order. And he went boldly. Now, I believe he went reverently. I believe he went humbly. But I think he went with boldness as he stood for it. It just speaks of the character of his faith, his courage that he found in that moment. We can find it. God gives us these kind of stories to help us, dear friend. He gives us these stories that helps us. Verses 46 and 47, you see the mode of his burial. The body wrapped. It was laid in the new tomb. Look in Luke chapter 23, verse 53. It gives us a little bit more insight there on it. Luke 23, verse 53. You know, I have a thought here, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven, why did it have to be a tomb where nobody had lain? I think it was that blood. You remember he said, don't touch me, I hadn't yet ascended. I think that he had laid where no condemnation was. I don't know, you know, just guessing there, maybe so, but there's a reason. God don't do things by accident. There's a reason it was a tomb. I'm sure there was many tombs around there. This was a new one. Luke 23, 53. And he took him down, wrapped him in linen, and laid him in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. You see the mold, they wrapped him up. As the manner it was, the Jewish burial was, they wrapped him in spices. They said they used about 100 pounds. They say, I'm not sure about this, but historians like Josephus and other writers that study this type of stuff, that you could tell the weight, actual weight of a person by the poundage of ordnance, spices, and things of that nature. Say that it was half the weight. Now, if that's true, I don't know, but... That's what they say. So Jesus must have been a 200-pound man around in there. Something, you know, in that range. Because that's what they say. Used about half the weight of the body, you know, there. They wrapped him up in that tomb, laid him down in there. In verse 47, here's these faithful women again. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. These women were held to the spot and bound by love. You know what the Bible says? The love of Christ constraineth us. I mean, it holds us. I wonder in our own lives, is there times that just the simple love of Christ, not the fear of God, should fear God. He says, I'm a jealous God. I'm like a consuming fire sometimes, he says. He's a loving God. Oh, I wonder sometimes if it's just simply the love of God. Think about Joseph. Joseph's a good example. And Joseph there in the house of Potiphar, man, he was working away and he was setting things right in order and he was getting a rate of return on Potiphar's stuff that Potiphar was so delighted with that Potiphar just took off and just let him run the whole business. But not old Potiphar's wife. She's like, wow, I'm trading old Potiphar. He's 48. I'll get me a 20. Got my eye on you, girl. And Potiphar, and Joseph told that woman, I'll not do this thing against God. I wonder if it was the love of Christ that constrained him. Sometimes I think we just serve God out of fear. God don't want us to serve out of fear. We need to reverence Him in fear. Oh, but it's so much more joyful when we do it out of love.
Amen.
We do it out of love. I tell you, when we work together as a family out of love, not for fear. You know, sometimes love is tough too, isn't it? Now, what you mean, preacher? Jesus, didn't the Bible say in Hebrews, He chastened those whom He hates. Those whom He loves. These little faithful ladies here, they show back up while they mark the spot. They beheld where they laid the Lord. Wonder how often we just, in the cool of night, Brother Johnson, when the Lord bumps us at 3, wakes us up, do we mark the spot where we were saved, where Christ moved in? Do we just go back and we remember what God has done for me? Or do we get all upset, man, I got to get up again in 3 more hours. Why can't I sleep? Don't fight the opportunity. Spend time with God. Love Him. Mark that spot. There's these faithful ladies again. Aren't you glad, men, that in the middle of those faithful ladies, God put an Oreo, those faithful men, Joseph of Arimathea, fearful just like us, but with boldness. At the right moment, serve God. Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word, for this evening, for being in Your house. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity that we had this afternoon as a church to remember exactly what You've done for us. We thank You for Your Word, Lord. We can study through it. We can see just regular old men and women that loved You. Nothing special about it, outside of them just being special to You. Well, it's a privilege, Lord, to be able to think about that we are special. That because we are Your children, we can say, Abba, Father. Thank You, Lord. Lord, I've done a lot of things wrong in my life, but You've never, never done wrong. You've been right. The only thing that I can find in Scriptures that You cannot do is lie. And You said You loved us. Help us, Lord, as a church, to understand that love and allow it to constrain us to service. In Jesus' name, amen.